David Reneke. Check out the website, davidreneke.com. The man who knows everything about the heavens. He joins me as he does every week. David, hello.
Wouldn't be anywhere else, Doc. Oh, yes, I would. I'd like to be over watching the rocket launch.
Yes. Oh, the Artemis rocket launch.
The one that didn't.
Yes, we heard the news.
This is Artemis Launch Control with an update. Launch Director Charlie Blackwell Thompson has called a scrub for today.
Okay. Why are they scrubbing it, David?
Look, this has got to be done. We've lived through these things before. You just don't put a car together like a Falcon or a Holden and sell it to the public. You've got to go and give it a shakedown test, like they did at Lang Lang. You know, places like Fisherman's Bend are where they did the tests on these new concepts. And this is a new concept. All right, it's a rocket, and it goes to the moon, but it's nothing like the Saturn V. It's much bigger. This thing is as big, tall, as a football field is long, and it weighs a heck of a lot. It's got to carry a bigger capsule. So this is the Artemis mission, Artemis 1. There's going to be up to three of these. This is just a shakedown. And the idea behind this is to see if they can send a capsule designed to carry seven people to the moon and back again. They're going to circle the moon and stick around in that region for about a month.
Can I ask you, David, the reason we're going back to the moon and testing this capsule and thing out is what a prelude to Mars missions down the track. If we get it right here, it's going to be worthwhile down the track?
Yeah, we want to put a base on the moon, and this is the advent of space tourism coming up, space mining, etc. So this mission's a shakedown. No one's on board there except Snoopy. There's a little character, a little puppet Snoopy in there, dressed in the right sort of gear. Artemis 2 will come very soon, and what they'll do with Artemis 2 is to put two people in there, maybe three, and send them on the same mission, up around the moon, come back again, and just to make sure that everything works, check the radiation level in there. The big thing about this mission, the first one we're talking about, is they want to make sure that heat shield works.
Yeah.
We can't do that. You've got to test that in real time. So that's coming back. Artemis 3 is going to be the big one. This is about 2025. When we do, we'll see the first people go to the moon again and walk on the moon. Kids now who weren't alive in the 60s to watch the Apollo mission unfold like we did, this is their version of that now. And when we land on the moon in 2025, we'll see the first woman there, and we may even see the first person of colour walk on the moon.
Wow.
Unbelievable stuff. So there you go. It's all about making sure everything's right.
Mm.
They won't launch this unless it is 100% spot on. Now, the word Artemis is a Greek word. It comes from the goddess of chastity and childbirth. You know all about that.
Yeah, too much, I'm thinking.
Yeah,
but the thing I love about this, though, the Artemis craft, is that did I hear the NASA director mention this? This is the new age. He sort of said it sets a line in the sand now.
Yeah, this is it. This is where it all starts again. 50-odd years or so of really going nowhere, learning how to live and work in space, and this will be the forerunner to spearhead what public and private enterprise is going to do. And as we know, anything commercial like radio, TV, anything, businesses, as soon as they become commercialized, they become competitive and the price comes down.
That's right.
So this is all about that. There are a lot of people got their names on board this mission, by the way. NASA had a little program going for Artemis, and they loaded something like 3 million or 3.5 million names on a little thumb drive that's on there as well. So it's a historic thing. Spectacular. When this thing launches, it's going to be a knockout. This thing is going to be so loud and so big that nobody has ever seen anything as big as this launch before. Now keep your fingers crossed. Yeah, our time would be September 3, be September 2 there, and that means this weekend we should see this thing lift off. I'm pretty sure the next one will be a go.
Yeah. Amazing how the heat shields always become an issue. That was with a lot of the space shuttles. That was an issue too, with them falling off quite regularly.
I'll tell you one thing about that. Not many people know this. This came out some time ago.
Yeah.
When they went to the moon in the Apollo mission on Apollo 11, they were told that if anything went wrong, and the other missions were also told the same thing, the abort system on top of the rocket will fix you. It will get you off. Don't worry. We can do it. No way. BS. It didn't work. And the engineers knew that. It wasn't capable of ripping that capsule off the rocket. They would have been killed had anything gone wrong. Now, when you look at this rocket on the launch pad, I want you to look at the spire picking up from the capsule. There are rocket motors on that spire, and that's designed to pull that capsule off Artemis if anything goes wrong on the launch pad. Check this out. If anything went wrong when they launched this and this thing caught fire and blew up, that abort system will operate automatically, and within 3 seconds, Bilko, 3 seconds, that capsule will be moving at 500 kilometres an hour.
Wow.
It'll knock you out, but it's better than being killed.
Yeah. So in 50 years, we've at least learned to make that work.
Yeah.
Amazing. Can't wait to see the Artemis do its thing. It's just so incredible. The other incredible news, David, and thanks for the link to this on your site. We've actually got sounds in space, and it sounds like something out of a Stephen King horror movie. It's the sound of is it a black hole, mate?
Yeah, basically the sound of material being pulled into a black hole. It's an electronic sound. It's not an ear-type sound or audible sound, but engineers with some new equipment have done that as a trial. It's about, the thing's a long way from here. It's just amazing they can pick the sound up and magnify it. And anyone who is out there, just looking at some figures here, yeah, anyone who's into music out there or knows anything about music, I just sing well in the shower. This is a whopping 57 octaves below middle C. They tell me that this is going to be the cosmic baritone of all cosmic baritones. But this is 250 million light years away. That's where all this is happening. So what it's picking up is the sound of the black hole moving material around a plasma and the gas around it, moving it around, and we're hearing what it would be like if you could listen to it with your ear. It's greatly magnified, but when you hear it and you sit there, you think, good, you're waiting for Dracula to come up behind you. It's like the soundtrack of a B-grade science fiction movie, isn't it?
You wouldn't want to be hearing this in the middle of the night with your headphones on and you're sitting in a very dark room, David.
It's on my website, too, for anyone who wants to go and have a listen to it. Just click on it.
Yes, it's very scary. Now, this happened a couple of weeks ago, but we know this this happened to Jimmy Doohan. He's got himself buried in space or ashes in space. Nichelle Nichols, Lieutenant Uhura, something similar?
Yeah, what a great tribute. The lady's 89. She passed away in July, and she never had the opportunity to travel into space, but she became a space ambassador for young women. And thanks to a Texas-based company called Celestis, they're going to give her a wish that she will travel in space, along with a few of her companions. Now, how are they going to do this? They're going to put her ashes into a container. And I think we talked about this once before. This company called Celestis in America specializes in space burial. So it'll be carrying another 150 capsules with cremated human remains and DNA in there. And they're going to shoot it into space. So Nichelle Nichols, in a roundabout sort of a way, will get her wish of going into space, and they're giving her that credit. First black woman in a leading role in a network TV series.
I remember an interview with her, how she was thinking of quitting the show, and Martin Luther King, I don't know if it was him or Martin Luther King Jr., said, no, do not leave the show. You've got no idea how much of a mark you're leaving on the young kids of America.
She went on to become an ambassador for NASA. She made it a mission to inspire women of color to join NASA. Now, she's going to be up there with Gene Roddenberry.
Yep.
Roddenberry's wife also was launched. They wouldn't be there now, of course. They'd be all burned up by now. Well, you know, again. And Star Trek engineer, the James Scotty Doohan. Remember Scotty?
Yeah, Jimmy.
He got set
Give
up.
Give us some more power, dude.
She's breaking up, Captain. Yeah. We're on warp 10. Warp 10.
Well, I love
10
it.
10 times the speed of sound. I'd love it.
Yeah. I like that that story at davidrenicki.com. Hey, we don't hear much about the Vatican Observatory. I can't believe the Pope has his own view to the skies. There must be a great history with that.
Isn't that amazing? Not many people know this, but the Vatican Observatory is one of the biggest observatories and leading observatories in the world. They have their own observatory. Well, it's a city. It's a little country of its own. The Vatican, that part of the world.
Why do you think the Pope needs his own view of the sky?
No, it's not that. It's just that they've made it a point of becoming part of the 22nd century. They pardoned Galileo. The Catholic Church actually have pardoned Galileo, and they put a statue of him there. Not only that, but they made it their mission because of a couple of the astronomers who worked there. have said, you know, we want to be open with the public. We want to show them that we're not a closed society here. We've got our open views, and they're doing real work. They have the right sort of stuff. They've got astrophysicists there, and they work in the field of education quite a lot. That's what they're doing. The Vatican Observatory are opening up summer school. They started these back in 1986 for young people to come along and do courses there. Young aspiring scientists, people who are doing, you know, their courses through university. It's following a pause in the global pandemic. It was put off for a little while, but now it's a four-week course, and there are quite a few young people over there now under the guidance of the astronomers. So the Vatican has an observatory, and they've wanted they want the world to know that they're open to other forms of life out there, the multiplicity of worlds, they call it, and they're quite open to the fact that people do have differing opinions on the makeup and the birth and everything of the universe. So it's good to see them coming out, you know, into the modern day world and showing the world that they're quite open to a lot. I think it's great.
I always thought the Pope maybe wanted his own take on the universe. That's why he had an observatory there. But they certainly didn't advertise it, did they?
No, they're quite open. They follow the normal ways of science. There's nothing funny going on there. Although they do have their religious convictions, it's nothing different to what a lot of professional scientists do. There are a lot of professional scientists out there who believe that, you know, the universe was created by a higher power. There are some that differ. It's a way that we go. That's progress. That's how we learn things. We learn from each other, and we make observations. But this is good. This is education.
Yeah.
And I think it's terrific they can do that. The Vatican Observatory, for God's sake.
Yes.
Who would have thought? Yeah. Galileo would be, he'd have a big grin on his face right now.
Oh, in fact, he got pardoned. I mean, you know, how many 500 years too late, but better than nothing, I suppose.
Mm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
More at davidrenicki.com. Before you go, David, look, you're famous for your Norfolk Island trips. Are you taking any bookings for a further trips down the track?
We probably could fit a couple if they wanted to go in the end of November. November 29 to December 6 will be away, but we're now doing next year. We've already got a few feet or a few fingers in the pie there. We've got a few things lined up for next year. So
this is becoming your Christmas holidays, David, almost.
Yeah, up around September next year. We're going to try and do two tours later in the year. So on my website, if anyone wants to go there, we're looking at Rotary Groups and Probus, Lions, Apex, anyone who's got a big group of people that might want to come as a group, we'll make it a special tour just for them. And we can do a nice 3 or 4 or 5 days away on a beautiful island. And the skies there are the clearest and darkest skies almost anywhere in the world. It's a beautiful place to go.
Is it one of those official dark sky designations?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is officially a dark sky site now, and they're drawing people there for that reason, photographers who want to take photos of the night sky and people like us. And we've had a good response to it, so anyone out there that is interested in coming along next year, we can get a brochure out too. Just go to my website and contact
me. All right, davidrenicki.com. The links are up where you need them. Dave, until next week.